So, Christmas Day is no different from any other meeting. I'd like you to have your Bibles open if you would do so. That would be helpful. Helpful to you, helpful to me. And why not open it then at that 40th chapter of Isaiah, which we read together. I think that we can easily see, without even trying very hard, that the prophecy here of Isaiah, this Old Testament prophecy, points towards the Lord Jesus Christ. He even prophetically speaks about the coming of John the Baptist and what he would do in his role in preparing the way for the Lord himself. You notice that the Lord's presence is so powerful, he is spoken of as one who changes the very landscape itself. It's not that the Lord is interested in the topography of our nature, of the landscape outside, but it's the topography of our souls that he comes to change. He makes the rugged places plain. And we look into our hearts and see perhaps those rugged places. He's the only one who can deal with them. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. That is what Christ came to do. It's the landscape of our souls that he came to deal with. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, this text says, to all the people. And at Christmas, as we call it, here we see this wonderful film fulfillment. The glory of the Lord will. I like that kind of language in the Bible. The glory of the Lord will, not maybe, not possibly, but will. There's a certainty. God needs no caveats. He needs no disclaimers. He does not say possibly, but he will. The glory of the Lord will be revealed. It will. It's certain. It was absolutely sure. And although you look on, as you do, as you read the text and you see the meanness of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, some shepherds, some kings traveling a great distance, no room for the Lord of glory to be born. Don't worry, the glory of the Lord will, I repeat, will be revealed. And so it is. And it says the text, I don't say it, the text says it, all people will see it. It means, of course, not just, as I was praying, that little place of Israel. Of course, not just for them, not just for a few of those Jewish people brought into that little place of Palestine. Of course not, but for the nations of the world. And any of you who have traveled, you will have seen that the glory of the Lord has been embraced by all peoples. Quite extraordinary it is to go and visit the Church of Jesus Christ throughout the world. Some years ago I was in Japan, and to meet Christians there who follow the same God and the same Lord Jesus and behold his glory just as I do and I did. This morning it's not so much for Christians around the world of celebrating Christmas. It's about celebrating the glory of God. And as I read it in 2 Corinthians, celebrating the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. In other words, there will be no celebration of the glory of God. It can't be done. The Muslim can't do it. The Jehovah's Witness can't do it. I mean it. The Jew can't do it. It can only be done in the face of Jesus Christ. It's an impossibility for the glory of God, that knowledge, to be found anywhere else except in the Saviour. The light which has been made known, listen, to shine in every heart of a true believer is to give the knowledge of God's glory. I don't say it, the scripture says, to give the knowledge of God's glory. And that glory, I repeat, is in the face of Jesus Christ. So you may ask yourself this morning, do I have any comprehension of the glory of God? Do I have any knowledge of it? Do I care whether I have any knowledge of the glory of God? It will be because if this morning, let's say you don't have, it's because you've never looked close enough into the face of the one you are celebrating, the Lord Jesus Christ, born as we think of it in an earthly sense at Christmas. Now, Christians are often unsure about the glory of God, and I'll come on to it in a moment. I'll say something more about what this means because it is so important. And yet the point is this, is that his coming is so that we might gain the knowledge of the glory of God. And the NIV has a very helpful word. It uses this word display. That the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ might be displayed. And so if Christmas is to mean anything to us, it has to be like this, that there will be a display of the glory of God. Just imagine if this Christmas you see everything, but you miss his essential glory displayed in Christ. I can't stress this enough to all of you. I'll tell you, I'll do it easily for you. Take yourselves back a month to November the 5th and Bonfire Night and the display of all the fireworks. And instead of looking up into the air, you look at your shoes. What do you see? You tell me, what display do you see? You miss all the glory, you miss all the colour, you miss all the sparkle, you miss the whoosh, you miss the beauty, you miss the surprise, because you're looking at your feet. And how many people have never seen the glory of God? They've never ever witnessed it, because they've never ever looked at the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is why Isaiah says in the 40th chapter, behold your God, look at your God, here is your God revealed. Now, I've probably heard, and we're still hearing today, of people who say that they want to know something of God, they want to find him, they want to understand him. I don't doubt it. But if you're a Christian this morning, you must be very careful how you explain this. How can they know God? Only in the face of Jesus Christ. It can't be done otherwise. Because the Apostle Paul says so. So if you meet someone who says, I want to know about God, I want to know God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's why he came. Are you missing out Christ? Always been worried me in my evangelistic work when people came to talk to me about God, but they didn't want to talk to me about the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that is a dead giveaway. I knew a man when we were doing the evangelistic work in London, week by week, and he'd often come to me, often want to talk to me about God, and he would say to me, but don't talk to me about that man Jesus. And I would say to him, well then, the God that you are talking about cannot possibly be known. No, it is like this. It is through the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Remember this, if you take it with you this Christmas, the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And this is like this. Here is your God. Here is your God. Born at what we call Christmas time. Here is your God. How do we read it in John's Gospel? That no man has ever seen God at any time. But God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, the only begotten of the Father, he has made him known. Do you want to know about God? I'll tell you about him. I'll be glad to sit with you. I'll sit with you. I'll spend my whole Christmas day with you, if you like. And I'll tell you about God. But as I tell you about him, it will all be about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, to the question of the glory of God, for which many Christians have a great deal of uncertainty, sadly, let me just say something. You know, in the original word that's used for the glory of God, the word means heaviness. The word means weightiness. It is the inescapable weight of all God's perfections set before us. That is his glory. You thought it was just a halo or some bright light. Of course not. God's glory is his own perfection. It is the sheer weight of the godness of God. No wonder in this cheap age of cheap theology that so many people are not interested in God. The idea of bright shining lights. Here is the substance, the sheer weight of God's sovereignty. Just stop yourself for a moment this Christmas. In the face of Jesus, the glory of God, just stop yourself for a moment. Give yourself a moment and stop and think about the sovereignty of God, the sheer weight of it. The weight of it. And then move on, when you've got the time, the mercy of God. And then move on and think about his love and his grace and his justice. The sheer overwhelming weight of the godness of God. The weight of God's character. The weight of his perfections. That is what is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. Can I offer you a warning? That if you're thinking of any other God than this God who has revealed his character, he's not the God of the Bible. You just invented him. He has to be the God who has revealed himself, and his glory is in the face of Jesus Christ. Can I put it this way, that at the very first Christmas, some of you may even be struggling with this now, but I've got scripture on my side. The first Christmas wasn't light. The first Christmas was heavy. It was heavy with the glory of God, because we read it. All through this Christmas month we read it. The glory of the Lord shone around them. There it was. Was it lightness? I'm telling you that this Christmas will probably be very light, with all of its fairy lights and everything else. But the real first Christmas was heavy with the weight of the glory of God. And as I prepare this message every year at Christmas, I think to myself, oh, what should I leave out? What should I say? What should I bring to people? Is there a place on Christmas Day morning for warnings? Well, I'm not asking. I'm going to tell you, yes, I think that there is a place for warnings. 50 years ago, before I was even converted to Christ, A.W. Tozer, whose writings I've come to love, 50 years ago, can you imagine? This is what A.W. Tozer said. The modern popular religious mind is losing the concept of the majesty of God. He said the low view of God entertained almost universally amongst Christians today is the cause of 1,000 lesser evils among us. He was saying in the knowledge of the holy, we need to capture again a sense of the glory of God. Dear friends, this Christmas I say to you, behold your God. Here is your God. So this Christmas day, when you're thinking about God, think of his wisdom, think of the weight of it. Think of his power, think of his goodness, and you will behold him. You will be able to say with Isaiah, I see the God who is revealed in the face of Jesus Christ. I'd like to think that having preached a message like this, that we might go away and the glory of the Lord might shine around us. Not with some bright light, but with what we see here. Now, just to draw your attention to the text again, in Isaiah 40. Isaiah says, behold your God. And then he says, you who bring good news. You are the one who has to bring the good news. In other words, shout it from the rooftops. When you've beheld the glory of God and you're so enraptured by it, can you shout it from the rooftops? I'm not surprised that many Christians aren't that keen on shouting it from the rooftops. Hey, I haven't beheld the glory of God. The sheer weight of the glory of the gospel has never dawned on them. No wonder they've got voices like mice. Lift up your voice, the text says. Shout it out. Don't be afraid. Go up to the mountains. In other words, go to the rooftops. Make a noise. Make it known. You'll make it known, all right. I'll tell you why you'll make it known. If you have a sight of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You notice that the shepherds, lo and behold, what do we see in the text? The glory of the Lord shone round about them. Off they went, found the Messiah, found the Lord Jesus, and then off they went to make it known. No surprise at all. A Saviour is born to you this day, who is Christ the Lord. Go and make it known, and exactly what they did. And it says this in the text in Isaiah. To the towns of Judah, here is your God. Say to the towns of Yorkshire, here is your God in every avenue, in every street, in every cul-de-sac. Say with a loud voice, don't be afraid, make it known. If you have a sight of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, make it known. Don't be afraid. What are you going to be afraid of? The glory of God has been revealed in Jesus Christ. What's there to be afraid of? We're cowering in a corner. We're not cowering in a corner. We're not afraid of what people might say to us. Lift up your voice. Shout it out. Let it be known. Make sure that you reveal this truth of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I'm passionate about something when I read a text like this, and it is so important in our own time. It is like this. Make sure that when you lift up your voice, make sure that when you go on the rooftop, make sure when you say it in the cul-de-sac or in the lanes or in the streets or in the city, make sure that you are saying, behold your God, not behold me. Not behold this church, not behold the star preacher, not behold the star entertainers. I saw them on the midnight mass last night. I saw the wonderful star entertainers. There they all were. And what were the churches saying? Behold, have a look at them. Look at them in their star-spangled outfits. Of course they were. Not behold your God. But the text says, behold your God. Here is your God. Not here is this star entertainer. I'm not interested in that. And I tell you this, that in our day, the churches have stolen the show. People have become transfixed with the star entertainment. But I tell you that when we behold the glory of the Lord, he will have the limelight. Of course he will. His glory will make us look long and hard at him. We will be transfixed by the greatness of the God who revealed Jesus Christ. And we, like John the Baptist, we will decrease. We will go into the shadows, hardly to be seen and bothered about. And there he will be, the one who is preeminent. As Paul says in his letter to the Colossians, that in all things he shall have the preeminence. Can I put it like this? He will be number one. He will be top of the bill. He will be worshipped. He will be loved. He will be number one. And all these second-rate entertainers who stand at the front drawing attention to themselves, forget about them. You don't need them. The thing about the text is, behold your God. Here is your God in the face of Jesus Christ. He is revealed. Now, something to leave with all of you. You must not forget this. It is of the greatest importance. Always listen to the description of God that he has made of himself. If my description from this pulpit does not dovetail perfectly with the description of himself, you don't need to take any notice of what I say ever. The description that God has made of himself is all I am interested in. I don't care what anyone else has said. I am interested in what he has said about himself. And if he says that the glory of God is in the face of Jesus Christ, then it is. And I need to make sure, along my journey of the Christian life, that I have a grasp of that accurate description which God has made of himself. Now, let me just put this to you. Can you, without murmuring, agree with the description which God has of himself? Otherwise, you're going to come to me with your description, and you'll come with yours, and you'll come with yours, and then you'll have your description. Yes, but I'm not interested in your descriptions or mine. I'm interested in God's description of himself. And then the glory of God will rise up before us, and we will be transfixed, and we will say with Isaiah, "Here is your God." And Christmas will give way to Christ, which is exactly how it should be. Let's do everything that we can. Not just today, but for the future. Let's make sure that we tirelessly, without reservation, without apology, make known the Saviour. And may our comprehension of the Saviour dominate Christmas, and let's not let Christmas dominate the Saviour. Well, that's how I think it should be, because that's what the Scripture says. Have a happy Christmas. God bless his word to us. It's the best gift that we could have, isn't it? The Scriptures revealed on Christmas Day, made known to us. We thank God for it. Amen.